Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer weiteren Ausgabe des Polycasts hier auf polygamia.de. Heute haben wir wieder Indie-Entwickler am Start. Wir haben Alex Meseri und Alexandru Nishita. Die haben das Spiel The Underground King in Entwicklung und mit denen werde ich mich jetzt gleich unterhalten. Die beiden sprechen kein Deutsch, deswegen wird der Podcast ab jetzt auf Englisch sein. Hello Alex, hello Alex.
Welcome hello, to the hello. Show. Nice to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. So you have you're developing a little game called The Underground King. Can you tell me a little bit about the game, what it is about, what genre is it, what's the game?
Well, Alex, you want to go first?
Sure. So it's a simple race manager. You take the role of contender to the throne of the Underground King, which is basically the meanest, baddest race manager in the city. Mm-hmm. You start off, of course, at like level one, and you build up your infamy, which is your street rep. Mm-hmm. You recruit drivers of various types of characters. They're like game units. And you get cars and send them to races.
So, okay. Yes. It's pretty much a FIFA manager, but in the driving scene, in the underground scenario. Mm-hmm. And the first time when I started thinking of this idea of the game, it was back in 2014, if I'm not mistaken. And it was because I saw that Prodigy video with the Voodoo People, if you know it. Mm-hmm. Yes. And also a friend of mine that I worked with back then sent me a weird link to some shady news website that talked about some sort of underground races. And the idea back then was you have this group of people that are not driving but running. They were runners that will go in this life and death scenario where the track was booby-trapped. Mm-hmm. And that was the original concept of the game. But then I had to kind of put a pin in it and let it gather dust on a shelf until this year when I got back to it. And mm-hmm. I met Alex, which is a neat guy. And we kind of took it from ground zero again and made it what it is today.
Okay. So talking about gameplay features. So on the one hand, you have a management game. So you can like pick out your drivers, equipment, and manage your cars. How do you do that? How do you get resources? How do you get recruit people? How does that work?
Well, we had a little inspiration from other management games like Darkest Dungeon and XCOM. Mm-hmm. And basically the game loop is in the racing itself. What you do in the manager is reinvest the resources you get from winning races. Mm-hmm. You can also use the shop, and there are some random events which can get you some other items. Mm-hmm. Or the currency of the game, which is cash. But mostly the resource gathering is within the races. If you win a race, you get the prize. If you don't win the race, you get items you collect while driving the cars. Mm-hmm. And you can have strategies like purposely losing a race in order to focus on collecting items on the road. Uh-huh. But the prize itself is in cash, which you might want to, you know, manually buy items or drivers from the store.
Okay.
So it leaves a lot of room for personal playstyles, which both uh-huh. of us definitely wanted for our game to have.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And a little add to that, we wanted to focus on the management part of the game first and not going to the driving side, so it becomes like a Need for Speed Underground, whatever a racing game, you know?
Yeah.
And we said, let's split the game in half. So we have the management side and then the driving side. So back in the city, like where you pick up your drivers and your cars and you combine them together to satisfy the needs for a certain type of race. Mm-hmm. You also have daily events and weekly events, which are more of a story type based gameplay. And each decision will influence your daily racing scenario in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. But the racing part itself is also part of the game. So first you manage, and then you still can play the game by racing the cars. You don't have to just watch them like in a football manager game where you can just watch the game taking place. But here you can race yourself in a way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Initially, the game was made for mobile, and the gameplay was setting up an AI behavior for your drivers. Uh-huh. And just watching the math, you know, take shape. But when I came into the team, we switched to a Steam game and changed the formula of a more arcadey style where you can control the car to a certain degree by activating abilities, braking, changing lanes. But the cars still go forward on their own. Mm-hmm. Since it's a feature that, you know, all racing games, you want the car to go forward. So we didn't want to have you press a key the entire time needlessly.
Yeah, I see. Was it difficult to switch from a game aimed at mobile to a game aimed at all platforms or more platforms?
From coding?
From the design perspective.
Yes and no, because the idea kind of remained the same, but it was we had to make everything bigger now, because you can't come with the same idea on the PC and say, well, we have a PC game now. So we kind of had to add a lot of things and rethink the old things, like the race itself. We didn't want to make it a race, as in you, as Alex said, you will press forward and the car will go forward, and then if you don't press, the car will stop. We wanted to still feel like a management game. So, it wasn't that hard making the game again from ground zero. We just had to remake small chunks of it.
Okay. And looking at some screenshots you already have on your website and from the first build I played at the Talk and Play, it has a quite unique art style in for a management game, because it's in this very cartoonish, hand-drawn maybe style. How did you decide on that? Was that from the very beginning, or did you think of it as a bit later, or how was the art style conceived?
Well, first of all, thanks for the compliment. Well, I grew up with weird cartoons like Red and Stimpy or Two Stupid Dogs, Ed and Eddie, Courage the Cowardly Dog, and I really find this art style to be something that I feel good doing it, while doing it. And it was kind of the same art style from the beginning, but the problem was scaling from mobile to PC, and you have to have more detail. So I kind of had to make it again, and most of the players from the events Alex went suggested that the art needs an improvement, because they didn't know the game was meant for mobile first. Okay,
so you had to redo it completely, or do you do it with just, is this hand drawn, or do you draw digitally, or how do you do this?
This is digitally drawn, but the art style looks rugged and different because I'm using a mouse. I'm not using a pad.
Okay.
And I had to kind of redo everything.
Yeah.
So it took some time, but the idea was there. The style was set in already.
And coming with the art style as well is humor. It's a big part of the game. It's very funny. The items are funny. The guys look funny. How important was humor for you in making up the idea of the game?
Well, frankly, me and I don't know if frankly is the right word here. it's a good thing that me and Alex are on the same joke idea. We have the same jokes. We have the same type of humor. It was so easy to come up with this type of jokes and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is how we are on a day-by-day basis, pretty much.
Speaking of day-by-day basis, you two don't work and live in the same city, is that right?
I'm based in Berlin and Alex is in Bucharest, Romania.
How does that work?
Well, there's a 1 hour time difference, which doesn't influence much.
Uh-huh.
Well, I wake up about 9:10 a.m. Berlin time, because I go to sleep at 3 a.m.
Okay.
I have a very volatile work schedule. And we're about half of that time talking through Skype or Discord or whatever, synchronizing. We also use the TeamViewer to brainstorm various things in Photoshop. He tweaks my Unity project artistically, and I help out with the UI UX thing in Photoshop.
How did you two meet?
Well, I was working at the King Games here in Berlin at the time. I think this was last year in December, I think, and I'm pretty active in various indie forums and on Facebook groups because I had the plan to leave my work and start my own indie company with my wife. She's an artist as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to run across a post Alex did about, programmers leaving artists in the middle of development. And I tried to help with advice, tried to find another developer for him, someone, you know, that is serious about this. And turns out that I was that guy, eventually.
Yeah.
And what attracted to me about Alex was, again, his art style and humor, because growing up in Romania, both of us, we had access to the same, South Park, although we were too young for it, probably.
Exactly.
And he's a very nice guy. He's very easy to work with, and although we don't agree head-to-head at every little thing, we're both, I think, mature and professional enough to talk it out. And if it's something artistic, he takes priority as, you know, the master of the art part. And for development decisions, I think having the most experience at it, I get priority for that. And it works very well for us.
Yeah, that was my main concern, because before meeting Alex, I had a lot of programmers I worked with, friends and guys I didn't knew. And this is my 12 or 13th title I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I've been working for the last 6 or 7 years as an indie game developer.
Uh-huh.
And this was a huge stress, finding someone who can understand your idea and will want to meet you halfway.
Mm-hmm.
and not intervene over your art style or your art decision or whatever. And at the same time, you will respect his priority as a developer. And this thing was amazing with Alex, as I said, because we don't have the same vision of the game. Of course, nobody has. But because of this, the game looks more awesome than it would look if I would make it by myself or he would make it by himself.
How did you two get into game development? What did you? Are you self-taught? Did you go to any school or university?
Well, when I was in the ninth grade, when I basically the first year of high school, my parents bought me a computer. Growing up in post-communist Romania, money was tight for everybody. But seeing my passion for computer science, they bought me a computer and I had the Flash. The only software I had was Flash. And I thought that mastering it would get me a lot of girls. And it turns out it didn't. But I learned a skill that for the past 10, 11 years fed and clothed me. And of course, my cat.
Nice.
Yeah, now I switched to Unity because Flash is, let's say, it isn't maintained as much for the newest software and hardware possibilities. But the transition was pretty easy from Flash to C Sharp, which is the Unity's language. It's pretty straightforward. I wanted to do this indie stuff when I was in college, though, in first year of college. Because the things that I learned at college didn't, let's say, was from 1980s. And I couldn't find a serious artist in my college city. They were either too young and wanted to do, you know, the best game ever, but lost interest easily. Or they were too, let's say, they had too many responsibilities, the other category. They had children, they had mortgage, and they needed money, which I didn't have as a student. So I kind of rage quit the industry and got jobs as a programmer in pretty much everything except games.
Okay.
Until I went to King Bucharest, and for 2 years I worked on games, which was very awesome. But still, it's a corporate job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in my case, I kind of, being in love with cartoons as a young lad, started working in Flash, the same story as Alex. I had Flash 8, I remember back then, Macromedia Flash 8, I don't know how it's spelled. And so I did these weird animations, and I wasn't planning on doing indie games. I had no idea there is such a thing as an indie game developer. I started slowly working freelancing with programmers, and then I kind of got the hang of it and started working on my own. I end up working at Ubisoft for 2 years. And couldn't score a development position because my art was kind of crappy back then for what they want in a AAA game. And I kind of said, screw it, and I went indie to do my own things after that.
So do you want to stay indie, or do you want to get back into the big companies once you've...
Definitely indie. I can't work on someone else's ideas.
I see.
It's weird.
Are you thinking maybe of like founding your own development studio, like a small team, or do you really want to do it on your own, just the two of you alone?
Personally, I want a small team. I'm going for something like four people, maybe. but nothing big, nothing big. I want to keep this feeling of a guy making a game, not a company making a game.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's more personal and it's more for the people than for the profits.
Ah, okay. Is that your kind of motto, your credo, like making games for people, not for profit?
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much.
Okay.
You, Alex?
Yeah.
Well, I have big dreams, big goals. One of the goals is to start a publishing company that mm-hmm. works very intimately with developers. There are many cases like Alex in Romania, at least, where the industry is just flourishing, where you have people with one idea but only one set of skills, and it's lacking, the other set. You have a programmer searching for an artist and vice versa, and nobody knows marketing. And I want to remove this need so that more ideas go out in the gaming industry.
Mm-hmm.
As well as I found after moving to Germany that there are actually game development colleges in here.
Mm.
And it's something I want to bring back to Romania one day, having schools, dedicated schools for games.
Mm-hmm. So when you you just talked a bit about Romania as a location for gaming development just starting, but what's going on there at the moment? Like, is there a lot of indie development, or are there also just big companies to be found, like studios from other, like Ubisoft Romania or something?
Yes.
How is the scene there? Because I don't think that our listeners know much about the gaming and development scene in Romania.
Hmm. Well,
it's more like the comics market, so nobody really knows about them. Mm-hmm. We are a few guys here and there making art for indie games or programming for indie games or both, but we're such a small number right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
What happens usually is that giant companies outsource to Romania, especially in Bucharest, because although college has some outdated material, it still provides a great deal of training. So uh-huh. when you leave the college, you can work in something like C++ is as old as computers themselves almost. And uh-huh. it's something that you can easily, let's say, catch up to the newest methodologies
yeah.
and go straight into mobile development. And an artist is a universal profession in the digital industry, right? We do have some big indie developers in the west side of Romania, for example, that actually have successful Kickstarter campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Their team is called Stuck in the Attic, because mm-hmm. They can't afford the office space, but they have an attic for a company, and they're making a point-and-click game set in a Cthulhu-esque scenario.
Ooh, that sounds intriguing.
Yeah, but it's humor-based. It's less, tentacles and skulls, and more like wacky cat adventure.
Yeah.
And it's slowly booming. They've been hiding under rocks, and now they're getting out.
Yeah, that's pretty
okay.
much.
Okay. Yeah.
We recently started having in Bucharest a maze-like event, and this year is the second edition.
Okay, what's that called?
I'm trying to translate. It's the Romanian Gaming Association of Romania. it's more like it's a little more like GDC. There's some job fairs. You have mm-hmm. professionals giving talks, and of course, everybody who is an indie developer can come and network, which is always awesome.
Yeah, that's great. That's good that events like that slowly start and grow, because those events I think are really helpful for the indie development scene, and of course. to make international connections might be as useful as well, to get some expertise from all over Europe. I think that is what we need in Europe is more of a connection between the indie scenes of all the different European countries, so we can like profit in a way, not money wise, but like experience wise,
exactly,
from each other.
Yeah, it's awesome that I'm in Berlin and Alex is in Bucharest, because we have access to both in the development scene.
Mm-hmm.
There are various unofficial meetups in both cities, and we try to go as many as we can, mm-hmm, to, you know, advertise the game and get some feedback. Feedback is, mm-hmm, like super crucial right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have to make the game.
Mm.
It's super hard.
Yeah.
But it's very rewarding, mentally and spiritually.
Uh-huh.
This is the downside of working as an indie and being stuck somehow in Romania, because you don't have access to as many people interested in this scene as you would have somewhere else.
Hmm. Well, Maybe something like partnerships of events or communities might help in that one. I think that there are not enough partnerships. Like, we have city partnerships. We should have maybe indie event partnerships like that. So Amaze could team up with that Romanian Gaming Association event or something. Maybe that would help. But talking about the hardships that you mentioned of being an indie development, money is always an issue. So how do you, like, at the moment finance yourselves? Do you live from savings, or do you do other jobs on the side, or do you have, like, some sort of funding maybe?
Well, we have no funding yet.
Hmm.
We want to start campaigning for the game in the near future. But we kind of work on and off on freelancing jobs. And
mm-hmm.
When we really can't afford anymore, we'll take some sort of a break and work for a few months and then come back and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a hardship, but it's worth it, because we're doing
mm-hmm.
what we like, and it's basically our dream since it's when kids want to become astronauts, we want to make games.
We are trying to release it on the 1st of May, which is not that far, on Steam Greenlight.
Oh, yeah.
And since it's a procedural game with random content, it's a good fit for early access and YouTuber let's plays.
Uh-huh.
And we hope we can generate some funds out of that to, you know, not starve to death. At least for a few months, when we can release more of the game we're working on and have a full full launch.
Yeah.
Okay, but you don't plan on doing a Kickstarter campaign or something like that. You aim for a Steam Greenlight directly.
Both at the same time, actually. We're trying to get into the Kickstarter tent at Amaze and get some feedback on a potential campaign, since we don't have funds for the audio part of the game, which is very crucial for a game. We would like to get a Kickstarter campaign, but not to pay ourselves, but just to handle the massive amount of music we plan to have.
Mm-hmm.
If you've played GTA or Mafia, you'd see that they have radio stations, which, of course, if you're in a car, you're going to have a radio.
Yeah.
To provide a huge diversity in flavor, in
genre,
style, we also want to put the Balkan-style music with accordions and cymbals. Because, we have to put a little bit of Romania in there.
Yeah, you totally should.
Yeah. The Balkanic music.
Okay, so you're already at a stage where you can, where you have, like, a little bit of playable material already. You will be at Amaze to present the game, so people going to Amaze can get a first look and hands-on.
Well, we're trying. We're talking to the Kickstarter representative to get there. Mm-hmm. We submit to the Amaze contest, but sadly, other games were picked.
Okay.
To be honest, we might skip Amaze this year because we need to focus on polishing the game, and we're trying to release as many work in progress features as we have now to a full state, so people can enjoy more. For example, the map in the management part of the game is mostly inaccessible right now.
Okay. How big do you aim for the game to be? Like, how big does this will the city be? How many lieutenants do you have to beat before you can get to the final boss? What do you think? Do you plan it on to be an ongoing growing game that never really stops having new content? So you never say
somewhere in between. we don't really want to say, well, we plan to make the game this big and after that, well, that's it. But we will keep adding stuff to it. The first goal is to reach somewhere around 50 hours of gameplay. Which is good, I think. I'm thinking of Darkest Dungeon, and like somewhere around 15 hours of gameplay.
The one big question people always ask, or gaming journalists are supposed to ask, I don't know. I don't like the question, but just as a joke, will there be a multiplayer?
MMORPG, of course. Initially on mobile, it was supposed to have a PvP component. It's not that easy to do actually multiplayer because of lag, especially in a fast-paced game like Racer. What we do plan to do is to release the racing part separately, without any stats, without any math, just visual customization of the car, and release it on air console. Which is, it blew my mind when I saw a presentation, and I think 3 talking plays ago, where you can use your mobile phone as a controller and just not need a console at all. It's pretty easy to strip that part off since it's so modular. And but first we want to actually release it on PC, Mac, and Linux, so we, you know, not overextend ourselves. We're just 2 people right now.
But so you for the main game, you aim at PC only, or other platforms as well? Just Windows PC or
PC, Mac, and Linux? From what I researched, it is a good game that will be released on Switch. But first, it's better if I release it on Steam, fix the bugs, put it on Mac and Linux, fix the bugs. And only when I'm happy with the level of stability, then we can port it to air console, Switch, maybe even the, you know, PS4 and Xbox One eventually.
The idea is not to bite more than we can chew right now, because we already have a full-time schedule. And it will be hard.
Okay. So best of luck to you guys for the game. I will keep my eye on that, and we'll try the early access or something. Yeah, thanks for being on the show, and
thanks for having us.
It was of course.
Ja,
das war der Polycast für heute. Wenn ihr Fragen an Alex und Alex habt zu dem Spiel, dann schreibt es in die Kommentare. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Danke fürs Zuhören. Macht's gut. Tschüss.
Tschüss.
Bye-bye.